That peaked. Why did that peak? Maybe I do need a... What the fuck's going on here?
This podcast is peak, bro. Peak podcast.
This podcast peaked over, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
How long has it been? I'm assuming we've started the show at this point.
I think so.
Okay, hold on.
Let us know if we have in the comments.
Yeah, there's comments.
Yeah. Last time we did an episode was our watch-along of the first part of Dune.
Our last episode of Let's Get Way Into Dune, episode 19. This is episode 20. Our last episode was the 1st of November, 2021.
How time has changed. So much stuff is different now.
Much like after the end of Children of Dune and before the beginning of God Emperor of Dune. A lot of time has passed.
Yeah, and it'll sort of be like these episodes are a little God Emperor, and then a little more time will pass.
Right, again. Right, yes, right, and also yes. It's not as good as before.
Right, right. It's different.
Whenever I laugh, it peaks on the mic, so I'm already gonna have to fix all of that.
Don't worry, I'm not funny. No, that won't be a problem.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, just don't say anything funny, and we should be good for this one.
I think you're all set.
All right. What are we doing? We're talking about...
We got a lot to cover.
Well, because Dune Part 2 is coming out pretty soon.
Pretty darn soon. March 1st.
Is that the official release date?
That's the official release date in these United States.
But you have secured us tickets. You've secured us tickets. Is it? Wait. Is it?
I believe it's already out in Gay Francais, yeah.
Fucking Denis showing preferential.
I know. What the hell?
And I guess they have fucking Chalamet at the helm, too, and he's got some French in him, for sure.
Yeah.
So, but on our end of the pond, as they say, you have secured us tickets to see the film on the 25th.
Yes, so it's going to be if it comes out March 1st on Friday, we'll be seeing it on the Sunday before in IMAX. It was like my Super Bowl. It was like my Taylor Swift Eras Tour ticket getting experience. I had, the time set, the reminders, the alarms. But yeah, so we're seeing it in IMAX in what they're calling the Fan First IMAX premiere.
Which is good, because we are the first.
So you can expect our review of Dune 2 episode to be up before the movie even releases wide. So
I guess you got to be careful about that. If you're one of our dozens of listeners, you don't want to accidentally spoil the film for yourself.
Yeah, we'll have probably a spoilers section. We can do a quick little recap.
Oh, that's true. We could do it at the beginning. Now, here's the question. Before we talk about any of the stuff we were going to talk about on this on our podcast tonight. And it is tonight. We're recording at night, and you should be listening to it at night.
Just so you know, that's a little bit of set dressing for you guys all to think about.
The sun is down. It's 10:46 p.m.
Yeah. On the Eastern Seaboard, anyway. Yeah.
Here's my question. Do you think the Dune dudes are going to be there?
If the Dune dudes are even still around. Yeah, they're right.
I'm going to check. This is going to be the second time already in the first 5.5 minutes of recording that I'm looking something up on my phone. Let's see. Well, I look up a Dune podcast on my phone. The Dune dudes released their most recent episode July 2nd of 2023, which, to be fair, is more recently than we released our most recent episode.
For those of you that don't know, during our Dune Part 1 viewing, we passed by some... If it wasn't the Dune dudes, it's some people wearing Dune dudes merch, and we felt threatened. But we also felt superior because we saw the movie before them.
We must have talked about that, right?
We did. But just to get everyone up to speed.
Sure. Sure. In case you don't remember the last two episodes from over 2 years ago.
Yeah, just, a little memory refresh.
All right, but hold on. We have been keeping embroiled in Dune related media.
Oh, don't worry, loyal Dune, let's go way into Dune listening audience.
I read God Emperor of Dune sometime during 2022, and you are still reading God Emperor of Dune right now.
Yes, I...
You're like halfway?
Let me go over to it.
Yeah, check it out.
I'm like a little over halfway.
A little over half. Okay, so...
I didn't want to say three-fifths.
So by oh God, okay. So by like 2027, we'll have a we'll have a God Emperor of Dune podcast.
Yes. I've taken months breaks. I only read it at work, and I'm only doing the job that allows me to read it sometimes. And so I'll get like a few chapters in.
Well, you're taking the subway now a little bit more, yes? You're going across town sometimes?
Sometimes I go across town more than these days, so I often forget to bring it.
Okay, sure.
But anyway, the book will be read, and when that happens, you'll receive our thoughts, my current thoughts, Silas's years old thoughts on right. God Emperor.
I can't wait to crack back into my notes and try to figure out what they mean, because it's been
I have page numbers in mine.
Literally years since I've read this book now.
Probably read it again before I finish.
But I did, you know what I did? And we're going to talk about, we just watched part one again recently, and we saw a few minutes clip of from Dune part two, which I think everybody is able to see now.
Yeah,
I think
that was like, so disappointing to me. We saw the initial one day only Dune part one IMAX reissue. I like was at... Like a job, and I opened my phone after not having it on for a couple hours, and like saw the tickets were on sale for 40 minutes, and like happened to get us tickets like by the skin of my darn little teeth, and then that one day went so well they put it back in theaters for a whole another week, and the little surprise at the end was like, oh, Denis showing, you know, ten minutes, what we thought was going to be the first 10 minutes, but just it happened to be a 10 minute slice in the middle of the movie, from Dune Part Two, and we were so excited, but then like. It's on their fucking YouTube channel now.
You can just watch it on the internet.
You can just watch it. It's the worm riding scene. It's only fucking 6 minutes.
Well, it's 10 minutes with the part where Denis talks about how Dune is so cool at the beginning.
Oh, cinema is magic and all that, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But, so we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about what we kind of expect and what we're hoping for in the new one. But first, I want to tell you about... I haven't told you about this. Well, you know, okay. I started reading one of Brian Herbert's books.
In your attempt to satiate your Dune brain while I plod on through God Emperor, you've acquired, what is it? House Carino?
No, it's not that one. It's Dune the Butlerian Jihad.
Oh, yes.
Which is the...
I remember this.
I think this is the first prequel book that he wrote. And it's...
After he wrote the last two of, like, Sandworms and
well,
Hunters
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. But those aren't prequels.
Then he started writing these.
It details... This is the first book of a trilogy, which I didn't know.
Okay.
But I read the first 44 pages of it, is what I'm seeing. And I can't do anymore. I can't do it.
Oh, yeah, it's that bad.
I can't watch this man destroy his father's legacy any more than I have already.
Yeah, why get specific with it?
Well, okay.
Brian?
Here's the thing. Frank Herbert created this rich science fiction world full of history and mystery. And
nice.
Thank you. And a lot of stuff that is like mentioned in passing, and you think, huh, I wonder what that is. And what Brian decided was that he would write one book where he takes all those things where you think, I wonder what that is, and he'll just tell you. just tell you what all of them are.
Here it is, just laid bare.
Just decide and then tell you.
It's like in the Dune books, it's like you're walking down a hallway with a candle and you just get a glimpse of some of the paintings on the walls. And then it's like, oh, the lights are on now. I can see the brush strokes.
I read more than the first 44 pages, I'm realizing, but then I gave up. I think I read about like the first 100 pages or so, and I stopped, and then I thought, okay, if I'm going to keep reading this book, I need to start over, and that's when I got through the first 44 pages.
I see.
So, but even in the first 100 pages, I just want to tell you a little bit about like what what I've learned about these the non-canonical history of Dune.
The Beleriand Jihad, how it started, what's going on. Yeah, please. What are some details?
All right. So, tell me what you know about the historic event, the Butlerian Jihad.
Thinking machines, it sort of impeded their creativity and, like, humanness. So they did the religions do a council? And then they decided, we gotta ban these thinking machines. And then the thinking machines were like, well, we don't want to be banned, frankly. And then there was a big war about it. And the humans won. Hooray, hooray. Spoilers for the end of that book, Silas.
It's not even the end of this book, because this is the beginning of a trilogy.
Oh, Jesus. So are there characters, or is it like a history novel?
There are characters. There are characters.
Boo.
Can you guess what their last names are?
Is it Atreides, Harkonnen, and Carino?
Oh, what do you know? What do you know? You guessed it.
I'm so good at that.
So, okay. Actually, don't remember if the Carinos are in it. No, they are, I think.
There's an Atreides, a Harkonnen. That's stupid.
From what I can tell, from what I've read, and I'm talking about this book having read less than 20% of it.
Sure.
But I just couldn't do anymore. From what I can tell, the hero of this book is Xavier Harkonnen.
Oh, my. It's like Anakin Skywalker building C-3PO. It's like, why is... It's like, it makes the world so small.
Okay. So Xavier Harkonnen is a... He's like third in line leading the human military or something like that against the... and it's on... I think it's Seleucus Secundus is where the beginning of this book...
That is their ancestral planet, right?
Yeah.
Even though it sucks now?
So Xavier Harkonnen is like... third in line to lead the like human army rebellion against these machines. Oh, I should back up. I should back up because there's a part that comes before. in even more ancient history than this book, human beings invented machines that made life really easy. And so things became sort of like very stagnant.
Okay, sure.
And then there was this guy who thought it shouldn't be like that. And he tried to convince everybody else maybe it shouldn't be like this. And they didn't fucking give a shit at all until he got, I think, 12 other people who... were thinking, this fucking guy's actually onto something. And they all picked names of gods and kings for themselves to have as this little, like, council of rebels. Okay. Do you remember when we were reading, I think it was Children of Dune. Oh, no. It was God Emperor, or not a God Emperor. It was Messiah. Because that's the one where we learn about, like, all these old voices that are floating around in their heads, and, like, you have to, like, pick one to help you out against all the other ones.
Yes.
And Alia picks the Baron. And then we thought that, like, maybe Paul didn't do that. Like, maybe he was too strong and he didn't need, mm-hmm. he didn't side with any of them. But then, like, there was the weird little section of the book where like Paul was like talking in his head and there was a voice that was like, I am your ancestor Agamemnon. And yes. I'm here to, and we were like, oh, like the ancient Greek dude, because that's who Agamemnon is or was.
To us mortals. Are you telling me that there's a guy named Agamemnon?
One of these guys picked the name Agamemnon for himself.
That's
to have.
Dumb. That's so dumb.
Yeah. So, okay. So these guys, like, started destroying the, like, they started themselves, just, like, the 12 of them. I think they, like, commissioned some army or something, and they started, like, conquering planets and, like, taking them over for themselves. And, using this, like, very powerful AI to their advantage. But then one of them got too greedy and let the AI in on, like, his... Oh, holy shit, I just skipped this part. Their leader died, and the rest of them converted... took their brains out and put their brains into, like, mech suits so they could live forever. Oh. And then there was also all this fucking AI... And they, one of them got greedy and let the AI into his programming a little bit. And now all of these guys work for the AI, but they hate that. But they also still want to take over everything. So then there's humans who hate the AI and also hate the fucking, they're called Cymex.
Sure. Yeah, oh, totally, dude. I could have told you that.
Hey, wait a minute. I think we usually start this show by saying our names. I just realized we didn't say, like...
Oh, I'm Dan, by the way.
I'm Silas. You're listening to Let's Get Way Into Dune. Holy shit. God.
Hopefully you're fucking... not so far in, we've cut out most of this.
Yeah, I've been fucking saying the same things over and over again because I'm trying to remember this batshit crazy story.
Yeah, this is going on a little long for me. It's okay. I can imagine how it is for you.
It's okay. We're going to cut a lot of this. Yeah. Okay. So these Cymec guys, they hate the humans and the humans hate them, but and everybody hates the AI. That's basically what we're working with. And Agamemnon, okay. Last name Atreides, Xavier Harkonnen is the leader of the human forces, and there's like this very big battle.
What does he pick? He picks Xavier?
Xavier, yeah. There's this very big battle at the beginning, which is actually, like, kind of cool, where the mechs are attacking and the city on Seleucus Secundus, and Xavier's girlfriend is named, like, Vanessa Butler or something, and that's where Butlerian comes from. Yeah.
He just can't help himself.
And I actually don't think the Carinos have showed up to the point that I've gotten to. What we have gotten, I'm just going to tell you a couple more things. Because that, like, the Agamemnon thing was the big fucking mic drop that I wanted to give you. Because it's so stupid. But also, there is, like, this little girl who's very good at math. And some ladies who live on a planet where they're, like... also very good at math or something like that, or like I don't remember exactly, but the little girl's like ugly and her dad is like hates her because she's ugly or something. And so like one of these ladies is like, hey, she can come live with us and do math on our planet even though she's ugly. And it's and I was reading that, I was like, oh, this is like the beginning of the Bene Gesserit, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like she's so good at math, she can, like, see fucking... She's like Rain Man, like, seeing the numbers floating around, and she can, like, tell what plants are made of molecularly, or... I don't remember. Some stupid shit like that. It's just, like, it has that, like, prequelitis issue of, like, needing to explain... Like, give background to every single detail.
Oh, yeah, we gotta figure out how Han Solo gets his gun, we gotta figure out why he's called Han Solo... Yeah.
So such ugly, like, profiting off his father's legacy.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, there's, you don't want to, like, go crazy and rewrite the lore and make everything anew and introduce all these 400 different aspects of the story, but you also don't want to do what he's done, which is just like, remember this? Remember that? This is where that all happened, and it all happened at the same time. And it's all the same families, and yeah. That's equally, it's equally as hacky.
Yeah, like these last names... Not that I've read it. These last names survived 10,000 years after this book takes place. I will say this. The best part that I've read so far of this book is the part that's actually, like, original.
Oh, nice.
Because there is... So the AI is this, like, omnipotent thing. It has a name. I don't remember it. But there are, like, lesser AIs that, like, serve it. And one of them, his whole little subplot is that I don't know how it ties into the rest, because I'm not going to read the rest of the book. But he has this, like, palace on this, like, beautiful planet, and he's, like, a robot with, like, a body. And his whole thing is, like, he's really trying to figure out what it means to be human. He wants to, like, experience it. Like, he eats food that he can't taste, and, like, he likes to,
that's,
like, paint.
That's something cool.
He likes to paint, and, like, he like, dissects his human slaves to try to figure them out and stuff like that. It's like there's, like, this very cool little sub story in there about a robot, like, trying to figure out, like, a sentient robot trying to figure out what the difference is between what he is and human. And it's, like, actually very cool. Like, write a book about that. Like, just fucking, like, coast on your father's last name and write your own interesting fiction. Because he's not even a terrible writer, Brian Herbert. So, I don't know. Whatever. I didn't want to get too into
Ironically, that's also some of the stuff that Denis covers in Blade Runner 2048.
That's true. That is true. Which...
Oh, or is it 2049?
2040... Oh.
I said 2048 at first, but now I'm not sure. Anyway...
That's the game with squares.
Yeah, Ana de Armas' character is doing a little bit of that. Also, the whole thing with Ryan Gosling's character. Anyway, that sounds like shit, Silas.
It's 2049, and I know that because I just Googled Blade Runner 2. Whoa! Hey! Blade Runner 2, The Edge of Human, 1995 science fiction novel. What the fuck?
By Brian Herbert. What the shit?
No, it's by K.W. Jeter, which is also related to Derek, I don't know, but not Philip K. Dick.
Philip K.W. Jeter.
All right. We got to fucking...
Son of Dick.
We got to get
back
the
on fucking course. Different. We're talking about a wrong fucking science fiction franchise that Denis Villeneuve has perfected.
I'm done telling you about Brian and his crimes.
Now let's talk about something else that Brian was involved in that's actually pretty good, which is the 2021 Dune Part 1 film that we just saw a couple weeks ago. The reissue of an IMAX. Our thoughts. I have not seen the movie in full since, I believe, our commentary track of it. It was my third full time watching it.
I watched it again, I think... I watched it again on a date shortly after we did that.
What a great date movie.
It was, you know? Well, she had read at least the first half of the book.
Right, I know you're talking about. She was in
it.
But, yeah. What were your thoughts about seeing it? It's been a while since I had thought about a lot of the moving pieces in part one. Mm-hmm. And also the movie, and just in my opinion... is really, really good. So it was fun. I'm curious about your thoughts on the seeing it again in IMAX.
I wish I had, like, written down more of what I thought about the watching it again. But there were things that stuck out to me. I definitely noticed the fucking thing where every time they mention a science fiction gadget, they say it's a thumper. It's a sand compactor. They do that every single time.
It's a frame kit.
We counted. There were like eight times.
We were.
They do that.
Yeah.
What did I notice that was? I'm trying to think of anything I noticed that I didn't notice before. The spider, the latex spider thing, was grosser than I remembered it looking. I remember that.
I remember I think I even picked this up the first time I saw it in IMAX, but damn, is that shit loud. Especially, I noticed when the Bene Gesserit are leaving at the beginning of the movie, right before that shot of like Paul in the foggy distance, which is also a great scene with him and Jessica. But when they're leaving, they're like this, like ha 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 ha. It's like that shit is damn loud.
Whatever. Yeah, I can't wait till I'm editing this and I get to hear the noise you just made because Discord did not let it through.
Oh, okay.
But well,
I'm seeing the wavelengths, and I'm really excited for you. Knowing, it might have been my first time watching it, knowing that part two is coming, right? Felt good. It made me excited to watch. But at the end of the first one, I was like, damn, that shit's not going to work if there's no part two and it barely works this time. And so I was happy to know.
The end kind of sucks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It doesn't pick a good place, in my opinion, but, you know, there is no... You would have to make it, like, 15 minutes shorter or, like, 20 minutes longer. But, yeah, the ending is really just, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, where else could they... Would it make sense if they ended it before they meet all the Fremen? Like...
Escaping the
fucking sandworm or something? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I've really come to terms with the ending, but I totally understand and even sometimes agree with the criticisms of the ending.
I mean, I feel like it's going to have to be one of those things. We don't know where the second one's going to pick up, but I feel like it's going to have to be like a Kill Bill sort of situation where it's like, this is one movie that they had to release at two different times.
But also, I was noticing that, you know, I was thinking about what the differences would be if they did film it all at once, or they did know that part two was coming. Would they have introduced Irulan earlier? Would they introduce Fade earlier? I think yes to Fade.
Mm.
I think they would have introduced him in part one if they knew a sequel was coming. They were smart to leave him out with the situation that happened with, like, the green lighting situation. But, I don't know.
I noticed more things I didn't like, I guess, than before. Because I was just so, like, when I first watched it, I was so enraptured by the, you know, fucking, yeah, it's Dune, and it's a good adaptation. And it is a good adaptation. But, like, I got to kind of be a little more critical of certain things this time. And one thing that I noticed that felt strange is you, like, some anachronism kind of things in the dialogue, where sometimes you can really fucking tell that a line is lifted from the book, and it's like Frank Herbert, like 1960s writing, and other times it's like, okay, that's Timothy Chalamet talking like somebody in 2021,
right?
And there are a few like particularly egregious ones. I think like during the training scene with Gurney, they say a lot of stuff that's just like straight out of the book, and some of it's cool to like, you know, I hear your footstep, I know you by your footsteps or whatever. That shit is cool, but there were like a few, there were some lines where it was like, ugh, that is a book dialogue kind of line, and it sounds so weird to hear real Timothy Chalamet say it in real life.
Mm, sure. Just, you just have to, I was noticing just like, damn, this is like a blockbuster movie that's like made to look really good, and every shot is visually striking and pleasing, and it doesn't look like gray matter slop like all the other blockbusters do. And I know it's Denis, and he's good at that.
He's kind of like one of the only ones just doing that. And he's really like two blockbuster movies, though, because that
right,
and Blade
right.
Runner.
His other ones are small, yeah. Like Arrival, kind of, right? But it's a little more small scale. Just like some of the best blockbuster moments. It's like, wow, a real filmmaker can make a big movie. Like, blockbuster doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think in my brain for the last few years, I think of seeing a blockbuster and I, like, go in with a little bit of, like, all right, well, you know, let's have some fun. But it's fucking, this movie is dense, but it's still, like an artist made it. And you can feel it, and it's artistic, but it still is big and bombastic and has thrilling scenes. Like, I think my favorite moment in a blockbuster movie is the part where he steps down onto the sand for the first time and gets really fucking high in the sand harvester scene, and specifically the moment when Gurney gets him on the shoulder and it like smash cuts and it calls back to that earlier with the "I can hear your footsteps, old man." He's talking to Gurney. He's talking to the worm. It's perfect. It's like my favorite blockbuster moment in a movie. And it's so good. But yeah, it was just like striking how like, oh man, like the whole like Jamis stuff of him like becoming, maybe he's my friend, like, oh no, not all his visions are right. Like, it's really dense. It's not a dumb movie. Not that, you know, movies can't be dumb and fun. I love a lot of dumb movies. But I don't know, it's just like, wow, a blockbuster that is made by someone that really cares about like art and still having fun. And even though a lot of the movie is joyless, and that is part of the fun for me, I was just like having fun and kicking my feet and eating my popcorn.
Yeah, we may be veering too close to being a true media analysis podcast here.
You don't want to know our real thoughts about stuff, do you?
can I drop some fucking theory on you, man?
Drop it, dude. Come on.
I learned in my high school dual credit, high school and college credit film there studies class.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I learned about there's these eras in filmmaking that tend to come in waves where the most important thing for audiences changes between. Well, originally it would go between like the studio and the director. People would care more about one or the other. Like, oh, what's the new picture from RKO? Right. And then
got a new film out. Yeah.
Well, right. And then the studio thing kind of got replaced with movie stars. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've been in kind of a long movie star era recently. And
sure.
I think that
with some studio stuff, the Marvel thing, right?
Well, yes.
But
so
you don't go to that's like an anomaly. But you don't go to see like a Warner Brothers picture, right?
Right. Because that just doesn't mean anything anymore. Because there are only like four of them left, and they're all making the same stuff.
Yes.
But there is the age of the director could be on the rise again.
I think so, man. A lot of the Greta Gerwig, Chris Nolan hype was this summer, and
right,
everyone's big on Denis. Maybe I just like have like insulated film Twitter. I'm just seeing film Twitter regurgitated back at me, and it's not actually a wider movement. But I see a lot of people being excited for like, oh, Martin Scorsese's next movie, and not just because like it's a good movie's coming out. An interesting movie's coming out. Oh, I want to see the next Greta Gerwig movie because I like Greta Gerwig and what she does.
Right. And it's definitely like we grew up in an era of like, we grew up in like the fucking Brangelina era.
Sure.
Of like movie stars were what people went to go see the movies to see fucking Tom Hanks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so just what you're saying about like an actual artist making a movie.
Yeah.
And like paying attention. Because like, I mean, this year, Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon, like big name directors making like big blockbuster movies that are filmmaking focused.
Yeah.
More than like name of star focused. And of course, fucking, we say all this, it's fucking Timothy Chalamet and Jason Momoa.
Right. Leo and Robert De Niro are in Killers of the Flower Moon. Margot Robbie's in Barbie. Like,
yeah, fucking Drax. What the hell? What's his name?
Dave Bautista. I go to the movies.
Yeah. So, like, it's not like movie stars are gone or anything, but I feel like the draw, I don't think that anybody who doesn't care about Dune or Denis Villeneuve's movies was like, oh, Timothy Chalamet is in this. I'll go see it.
But I know what you mean. I mean, you're also saying this ironically about one of the most stacked cast movies of all time. But I know what you mean. Like, you can see it on screen. It has like a specific vibe and a feel. And you go to see the dollars on the screen instead of the actors who the studios paid the dollars to. You go see the big wide shots. He does scale so well, man. Like when the fucking the ship sets down on Caladan, you can see like how big the trees are compared to its little feet of the circle ship.
There are so many little. Well, right, because that's the same fucking ship that we see as like a tiny little pea flying out of the Guild Navigator.
Yes.
Ship.
Yes. Which,
oh man. I love the way they did the guild transports.
Yeah, you can kind of see the like, other planet through the hole.
It's like a little wormhole, yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
They fold space, and that's something that's just right. Like, all right, cool. And I feel like they show that in a crazy, like, upsetting way in the David Lynch Dune.
The Lynch ones, they all get in their ships, and then all the ships attach to that, and then it fades out and then fades in somewhere else. That's what it happens in the Lynch one.
That would happen?
Yes, because I watched that scene recently. Well, there's a whole montage about the Guild Navigator shooting a space laser out of its stupid testicle head.
But oh my
anyway,
god. Yeah, right.
The Deneuve movie knows what to show and what to not even fucking bother with. They mentioned the Weirding Way once.
Oh yeah, I didn't know you were a Weirding woman.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me? Yeah,
that's a pretty good Javier. Like not gonna lie to you, brother.
That's the fucking professionalism that we're working with here. Hold on just a second while I figure out some other ones. There you go. I'm back.
There we go, baby.
What a life. What a life. I am connected. I'm using the same headphones now, but I am just plugged into my computer while I do them. And so I've moved my microphone across to the other side of my desk. The arm is stretched all the way out so that I can speak into the microphone still. Whatever. I'll just sit a little more uncomfortably while we talk about this.
Woohoo!
Where were we?
I was just struck by how impressive it is that they told out the exposition as naturally as it is, even though you can tell it's an exposition-heavy first hour. I don't know. It's still like, ooh. It was fun for me in the way that it was probably fun for, hopefully, someone finding all this information for the first time. Where I was like, oh, they chose to put that there. They chose to put that there. How interesting.
So
I was thinking about the craft of doling out the information more.
They didn't have Florence Pugh tell you the names of the four most important planets.
Yeah,
and
forget
why
the
they're
last
important.
One
and
fade back in.
Right. In fact, they had Zendaya tell you a little bit about one of the most important planets in a way that was a lot more natural, for sure.
Yeah, she just says it in like 30 seconds and then the fucking title comes up. It's like, that was like way easy.
Yeah.
Apparently that was not the original opening of the film.
Oh, I remember
hearing about that. A lot of the stuff pre the box scene is like reshot, and not reshot, but just like was put in there after the initial shoot, which I guess some people were saying, oh, you can tell if you look at the length of Timmy's hair, but who gives a fuck? I think it's that first part is pretty good. Sets up the voice nicely, sets up the Fremen perspective nicely. We don't get meet the Fremen for a while in the book, and also should we shift now to the preview that we thought we were so special for seeing, but just now on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. I also just was thinking about, before we do that, I was just thinking about how there really are real whispers right now of making it a trilogy and getting Messiah.
Look, man.
And
look,
we
man.
Talked about this
look,
as
man.
They would be the perfect trilogy.
Oh, my God. He is doing another movie soon, Denis. Yeah, I guess he hasn't confirmed which one's next, Messiah or this other. It's called Rendezvous with Rama. It's another science fiction movie based on a book. He hasn't said which one's next. I would prefer he does the other one first and comes back to it.
Let everybody get a little older. Yeah.
Yeah, I have other stuff about Messiah to talk to you about, but it's I don't know, man. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen at this point. I don't know.
It seems like there's traction.
I'd be surprised if it didn't happen. We gotta wait for the box office returns, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's looking more. I don't want to jinx anything, obviously. But anyway.
All right, let's talk about this fucking little boy standing on this big worm.
Yeah, big worm moment.
Because right, we thought we were seeing the first 10 minutes of the new movie. And that was exciting because it's like, oh, where are they going to pick up? Are we skipping time? Are we? Is there anything else that needs to happen before? We were talking about, like, are we going to get the whole thing with, like, Jamis' wife is now Paul's wife and his kids are now his kids?
Yeah, it'd be weird to open it and then, like, 15 minutes later do the time skip. So are they just going to do the time skip now? Are they not going to do the time skip at all? Or, like, I remember during the credits we were like, how much you want to bet that it opens with the Carinos and it opens with the Emperor and Irulan, or does it open with the arena scene with Fade? We were thinking about it, like, could we just thought that the 10-minute preview would be the first 10 minutes of the movie? Hell no, we were fucking wrong. It's the worm running scene in the middle of the film.
Yeah, so the question does remain of how this thing is going to open. Like, is it going to be like,
no, I'm not sure.
We got to kill the Muad'Dib. He's leading the Fremen, and he's starting to be a problem for the spice refineries.
Somebody talk to Bald Elvis. He'll kill him.
I'm looking for Paul Atreides.
I'm curious. I have a feeling it'll open with the Fade Arena.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't think about that.
It's all black and white in the trailers. I'm thinking it might just, like, be black and white, and then it, like, starkly shifts to color, and they're in the siege or whatever.
All right.
It's my bet, but we'll see. The worm running scene was cool. I was kind of went how I expected it to go. I don't know about you. It was really good. I just was like, damn, I want more.
I liked getting to see. I don't know how much they're going to end up explaining how the worm works and like how how the hooks work and stuff. But I liked seeing the thing where he's pulling the things open and they're reacting to the sand getting in them. And so it's turning to like the worm is turning to not get the sand in the like open fleshy parts.
Yeah.
And that was something where I was like, would this make sense if I hadn't read the book? Like, would I understand that that's what's happening here? I don't know if it's not so obvious that I'm like positive that that plays if you don't already know.
Yeah.
But so I wonder if they're going to talk about that at all.
Might be a passing mention.
There might be a quick little Stilgar thing where he's like, don't forget to expose the underbelly of the worm's panels.
I like seeing them realize the prophecies, like they're like realizing like, oh shit, this might be the man.
Yeah, I love that the Fremen don't have, like, a consistent accent at all. It's just, like, it's a bunch of actors from a bunch of different parts of the world, and they're all talking the way they talk.
Hey, they do stuff a little different in every siege, apparently, so.
I guess so, but Zendaya is just still as American as Chalamet is, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, who gives a fuck, but yeah, it is kind of like, huh. I wonder why. Maybe he's from a different siege. I don't know.
I don't know. He's from the Spanish siege. Yeah.
Yeah. He is.
Where they speak Spanish.
I'm excited to see Javier Bardem do his damn thing.
Oh my god! He was who was making me think like the fucking casting is so perfect on this. Like nobody else could play Stilgar like that.
Oh,
he's such
Stilgar.
A weird little dude.
Yep.
Like, I can't think of a single other person who I could possibly fucking even dream of casting as Stilgar now.
No, Javier does a great job. But we're seeing it. How long? It'll be, oh my god, a week. In 2 days, it'll be a week from when we're recording this podcast.
All right, 9 days. I'm sure this will go up somewhere within a week.
Hopefully, yeah, before the movie comes out. Yeah, so Dune 2. The social media reactions, embargo lifted yesterday. No one could give it a score, or say anything about it other than how they felt about it. You know what I mean? But the things I was seeing as we were in a little Uber, you and me last night, I was reading Twitter about it, and I'm getting pretty hyped, man. This thing is going to be pretty good, I think.
You are our resident Twitter correspondent for these kinds yes. of things. I'm not on
reporting live from Twitter.com.
Particular app so much.
That's probably best for your mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
I think about deleting it all the time.
That's kind of the reason. People like it. People say Zendaya is very good.
Austin Butler's very good, apparently.
Austin Butler's very good. Which is interesting, because that implies that Austin Butler is in it at least more than Sting was in the Lynch one, you know?
Exciting.
Because Fade, I also don't remember in the books, I don't remember Fade distinctly being that much of a character.
Yeah, he shows up in the bathing suit, and then he looks cool, and then he comes out at the end. At least it, for me. I hope there's like more of a through line so it makes the final battle more climactic.
I think he also like plays some like 4D chess, literally, and also like fucks a slave or a spy or something like that. Do you remember that
Hell
part?
Yeah.
There's like no. some lady who shows up to spy on him and he fucks her.
Is that in the miniseries or is that in the Lynch movie?
No, it's in the fucking book, I think. I don't remember if it made it into the other.
Okay, I think it is.
It's also in the miniseries, though. I think because I can kind of picture the spy lady in that one. Oh man, what a fucking fever dream! Talk about something we haven't watched in a long time.
yeah, for real. So I'm trying not to get too hyped about it.
Yeah. No, why not? Get hyped. Do whatever you want.
I mean, I'm gonna love it no matter what.
Yeah.
Here is a question.
Uh-huh.
There's one part of the book that we don't really know so much about.
What's that?
Or not one part of the book, one part of the movie, how they will be adapting one specific part of the book. And that is our favorite little baby saint, Alia of the Knife.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking about when... I was thinking about you were talking about the Baron not being in it enough or not being in it a lot in the first one. I was thinking about how the fuck are they going to do the scene where the little baby kills him with the
kills
fucking
that
ganja
Baron.
When she kills him with the ganja bar, how are they going to do that and not make it insanely stupid and funny? I mean, he's not going to probably fly around and scream like he did in the Lynch one where she
and
like
deflate
like a balloon.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, which is an awesome choice.
No, that was the best part of that movie, I think. But, what? Yeah, are they going
to
do...
So here's my news about it, if you would like to know.
Okay.
I wish I didn't see this, but it's sort of impossible not to have seen this. Like, a week or two ago, there was an article, like a clickbait, ragebait article on, like, Slate or, like, The Cut or something.
Yeah.
Like, Screen Rant or something that was, like... Oh, exclusive interview with Dune director and how he's going to do the book's story in his own way. And it was meant to be like, oh no, he's going to ruin it. He's going to make it woke or whatever. There's going to be genders or whatever. I don't know. But he put genders in my 60s book. Why are all the bad guys gay? I don't know, Frank. Why are they? Anyway.
why is the Baron gay now?
What the fuck?
And why is that more important than him being a pedophile?
Right. Anyway, it was sort of implied that we won't be getting an Alia.
Oh.
That maybe she'll just communicate with Jessica from the womb, and that perhaps implies that there is no time jump at all.
Oh.
That was not confirmed or anything. That was like some speculation I was seeing.
Interesting. I wonder about that. That?
And that maybe Jessica will kill the Baron at Alia's behest.
That might be better.
Well, I also realized that it hasn't been revealed in the movie that Jessica is the Baron's daughter.
Right. When did
That's a revelation.
Oh, that happened in the fucking tent. In the sand tent in the book, didn't it?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Because that was when Paul got the like spice awakening and he realized his like own ancestry. Yeah. So that is not revealed. Ooh.
It's fun that she's a Swedish actor too, and she has that little accent, right?
Maybe we get some good Baron and Jessica stuff.
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Let's hear it.
We're setting up. We're setting up a sequel to a sci-fi blockbuster, in which the big bad evil guy is revealed to be the father of one of the protagonists. Have you heard that one before?
They took a lot of inspiration from these books that hack George Lucas.
That's the goddamn thing, right? Is like
two sons, baby.
Is like, or maybe all this shit in Star Wars was stolen from Dune originally, but that's not how it's gonna look to people who only watch movies.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be on the bridge and Luke already lost a hand.
Like, I don't think they're gonna cut Jessica's hand off.
None.
Yeah.
That's impossible. I don't think that's gonna happen. It would be awesome, kind of, but
it would suck.
Well, Silas, you are one of my least online friends.
Thank you.
And I meant that as a compliment. You live a happier life than me. Or you should be, and you're not, which makes me upset.
No,
but
that's what's so scary about
it. On paper, you should be.
You got no idea what's out here. go for a walk sometime. You're gonna see the real horrors. Yeah.
So let me drop a little bombshell on you.
Oh,
this is one of the best cast films of all time. That being said, we are losing Oscar Isaac. We're gaining Florence Pugh, great actress. We're gaining Christopher Walken, fucking legend.
Yep.
I want you
Still
to know
feels
that
so weird.
That last night at the premiere, someone showed up that was not on the cast list.
What do you like in the? Like there's an actor in it that we don't know.
There's an actor in it that was not confirmed previously and showed up at the premiere and was like, "Oh, I am in it." Yes.
Do you know who it is?
I do know who it is. Would you like to know?
Ooh, no! Don't tell me.
Okay.
I can't wait to find out.
All over the internet.
I haven't seen anything about that.
That's crazy.
Here's what I do know.
Yeah.
Buster Scruggs is in it.
And it we wasn't don't know, Buster.
And we, you know why? Because we know he's in it, but we don't know who he's playing.
It wasn't Buster Scruggs. We don't know who he's playing still to this day.
We think
maybe
he's
Fenring? We know Fenring. Who Lea Seydoux is, and she's Madame Fenring.
Right. But we don't know who.
But that character doesn't
is.
Have a huge part in the books. I don't know if they're beefing her character up. I don't know.
Well, because fucking Fenring is not a huge character either. He's got
He's just in that arena scene, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, they talk about him otherwise because he's like a failed Kwisatz Haderach. Yeah. But also, like, he's got some like vampire stuff going on for some
reason.
Right.
He's like a count.
He is a count, but it's more than, like, I don't remember what it is. I feel like, I swear to God, like, he's got, like, when I picture Count Fenring, he's wearing, like, a high collar and he has pointy teeth.
Oh, I am Buster Scruggs.
I don't remember, but I know that, like, okay, whatever. It's so weird to think, because I've seen, what the fuck is that actor's name?
Buster Scruggs?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
Tim Blake Nelson. So, I feel like I must have seen him in other things, but I can't picture him as anything but fucking Buster Scruggs. So how the hell is he gonna... Who the hell is he gonna be in my fucking science fiction Dune movie?
I can't wait. He'll be Alia. Everyone thinks he'll be Alia.
Oh, fun. He'll be... Right. He'll be the voice in Jessica's head.
So, do you have any guesses?
Well, hold on. So this mystery... Well, no, I know you know who the mystery actor is. Do you know who they play?
I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, okay.
I will once we get past this little impact. I just want to think... Just think about what we were talking about.
You want me to guess who the mystery actor is?
A few swings.
Okay, I'll take a few swings.
If you wouldn't mind. Yeah, if you wouldn't
mind. I'll take a few swings. I guess... Listen. I guess tell me if I get it right.
Absolutely.
And
I
tell
want
you,
you to get it right. Here, I just ran game. Through in my mind you getting it right, and I was very excited.
Here's the game.
Yeah.
I'll take three guesses.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll give a baseline definitely not in it kind of actor, and then I'll take three guesses after that, and I do want some hotter or colder from you.
Yes, I will guide you. Yes, absolutely.
And if so I don't give me get a... it in three real guesses, then I don't want to know.
What?
If I don't get
you
it in
don't
three...
want to know?
No. It, I want to be
my fear is you're going to find out by being on the Dune Reddit and like being on the internet in general.
Here's my, well, let's just fucking start and see what happens.
Then. Yeah, right.
Here's my baseline. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who I'm positive is not in Dune Part 2.
All right.
John Krasinski.
Silas, you hit the nail on the head. What can I say? Wait. You're right. When you're right,
wait,
you're right.
It's not John Krasinski.
It's not John Krasinski. You're right.
Oh, good. I got so scared.
John Krasinski as Buster Scruggs.
They put Buster Scruggs.
Holy
in Dune
fuck,
Part
he's a
two.
Lucky cowboy.
Holy
yeah.
shit, but it's not Tim Blake Nelson.
No, he plays Alia.
Right. Okay. Okay. So tell me if this is warmer
or colder
than John Krasinski.
Sure.
If
you say Randall Park, I'm gonna come over there and strangle you.
I wouldn't. You know I wouldn't. Right. Nobody's more sick of that joke than me. All right.
probably Randall Park is, but yeah.
No, he makes $10,000 million every time he pretends to be John Krasinski.
At the cost of his soul.
But you would.
Yeah, I would ruin my soul. Absolutely.
Of course you would. For all that money. All that Marvel money or whatever, whoever the hell it is.
He's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now guess, please.
Okay. All right. So let's go with Neil Patrick Harris. You can also, it might just be a lateral move.
It is a lateral move.
All right. That doesn't
awful
count.
Awful guess.
That doesn't count. It doesn't count if it's not a fucking warm
cold. Oh, okay. Sure.
I want to hear about Pedro Pascal.
Colder, dude.
That's colder than John Krasinski?
Something all these people have in common is not even getting you anywhere close.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to do with that. Wait, Pedro Pascal is colder than John Krasinski?
Not really. I don't know. He's older than John.
Oh, he's older. Okay, so this is a younger.
Yeah, no.
Tom Holland.
Damn, I guess you're closer, but it's like 2 is bigger than 1, and you're trying to get to 400.
Sydney Sweeney.
Now you're getting a little close.
Oh, so this is much warmer. Okay.
Yeah. We've abandoned the three guesses rule. Just keep them coming.
This is a young actor who's probably a woman, but we're not casting Alia here, as far as we know. Or maybe we are. I guess you know the answer to that. Give me something about fucking Eleven from Stranger Things. What's her? Millie Bobby Brown.
It's not her, but... She does have 3 names.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes.
Yeah! She's 3 names?
Yes, she does.
She has 3 names.
Sydney Sweeney is also blonde, which this person happens to be at this moment.
A blonde, 3
at this
named...
moment, at least. She's been in stuff that she's not blonde, but...
Okay. A blonde, 3 named young woman. Holy shit. And by young, we're saying like 20s, probably, based on the ages of the people we're talking about here. What the fuck?
And the thing that you like her most for, and the thing that I like her most for, she's not blonde, but she is blonde now.
Oh my god. Okay, yep. I was gonna. Well, yeah, I got it because I was just thinking. You said these people have something in common. I was just thinking about like people who were in Denis movies before. Well, now if it's the person I'm thinking of, she is, I would say, notably blonde in one recent film. Would you say so?
Let me think a little bit. I guess she was blonde in a recent film.
Was that not the name of the movie?
It's not Ana de Armas.
Ah, damn.
It's not Ana de Armas.
I was just because she was in
this
Blade
podcast
Runner,
is devolved.
I guess Day is not a name. That's part of her last name.
Right.
Oh, okay. Ah, shit. Fuck.
I wonder if she would look good blonde.
I literally thought of what? She's watched the movie.
won't.
Yeah. A three name blonde young lady.
She's pretty big. Like Ana de Armas is in...
Has she ever done a Hot Ones? I've watched a lot of those.
No.
She's never done a Hot Ones before.
She's never done a Hot Ones before.
I probably don't. That's the main way I find out about celebrities. So, I'm trying to think of people with three names, and the best I've got right now is John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
Fucking Dr. Steve Brule was in.
Yeah.
Was in Dune Part 2.
Kill the Baron. Yeah, I don't know. She's hot. She's hot to trot. I was talking more in, I was talking not appearance wise, more in like she's a big star and she's kind of current, but she is also a very attractive woman.
Yeah, you have to be if you're going to be a woman in Hollywood these days.
Right.
And a man, usually. Mm. I don't really... Well, Tim Blake Nelson, he's kind of weird looking. Whatever.
You need to be hot or ugly in an interesting way.
Ed Sheeran is not an actor, but he was in Game of Thrones, so...
All right, I'm done with you guessing Ed Sheeran. Do you want to know who showed up at the Dune 2 premiere last night?
I wish I had guessed it. Yeah, fuck it. Okay.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, of course.
Anya Taylor-Joy shows up to the Dune 2 premiere last night.
Of course.
And she refuses to say who she is.
But she's in the movie.
She's in the movie. Here, and they... Nobody... there was no Anya Taylor-Joy is in this movie before this. Here is what the consensus is.
Okay.
There are visions of Alia from Messiah in which she is grown up and she's played by Anya Taylor-Joy. And they converse at some point.
Oh. You know that, what?
You know what?
It's not bad casting
it's
for that.
It's not bad at all, isn't it? We
she
don't know
totally
for sure that she's Alia, though.
But that she could totally do that.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a part of me wishes so, so, so badly that that surprise was kept for me. And that Anya Taylor-Joy shows up in Dune 2. And I'm like, what the fuck? Anya Taylor-Joy's in this? But I'm online.
How does it feel, even with permission, how does it feel having ruined that surprise for me?
I wanted to go in with you. I didn't want to like hide things from you.
Did you get back any of the joy that was robbed from you when you learned that?
When I sucked it from you just now?
Yeah, like Count Fenring himself. Did you get any kind of vampiric sort of pleasure from that?
Anya Taylor-Joy is in the movie. No, I just didn't want to keep things from you.
What about from our thousands of listeners?
Anything?
Does it make you feel alive?
I feel like if they waited through all of the guessing bullshit, then they probably wanted to know who it is. And
well,
they probably already know who it is because the movie's already out because this is coming out so close to the movie coming out.
To be fair, I'm going to cut the guessing down to like 7 minutes maximum from the half hour or whatever that it was.
And them listening to it is voluntary, and there's a pause button. They recently added a pause button to these podcast apps now, so they can go away.
That's true. I've been using it on Spotify a lot so that I can... it used to be like... Whatever. I'm actually going to abandon this joke midstream.
I'm so grateful for that.
I just realized I was going to do something about radio or like... I don't even know. It flashed before my eyes, much like Paul saw a
terrible future.
A terrible war waged in his name. I realized that this joke was going absolutely nowhere.
I wish I had more of that in my life. Bet we all do.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to talk about Dune 2? About what we're expecting or what we're...
Alia stuff. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, we talked a little bit about Alia stuff. Is there going to be a baby? Is there not going to be a baby? I think no baby is obviously a departure from the base material, but talking baby makes everything stupider and harder to take seriously.
Yes.
So I would support that. And
I can see them doing it in an artistic way, right?
Visions of Alia from the future, and it's Anya Taylor-Joy, apparently. That's kind of cool.
We'll see.
Does Jessica talk to the baby, but it's Anya Taylor-Joy in her mind? Like,
right.
Do we get like a fucking Deathly Hallows Part 2 when Harry gets killed and he's like in the...
They're in the white room. Yeah.
White room. Yeah, do we get like some of that, but with Anya Taylor-Joy and fucking Jessica? That, you know, there's room. There's room to play there. And I think that's kind of fun. I can't stop thinking about how fucking... the Emperor is...
Chris Walken.
It's fucking Christopher Walken. It's more cowbell himself. That is crazy. Oh, man. Christopher Walken is going to be in it.
I mean, it's good that this movie is sounding like it's going to be good, because if they fucking wasted that shit, could you imagine?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. The first movie is perfectly cast, and the second movie might also be perfectly cast. But when you listen to when somebody reads out the cast list for the first movie, there isn't anybody who they say their name and you go, wait. What did you just say?
Jack Nicholson's in it? Yeah, like it's not like that.
No, if fucking Jack Nicholson was the Emperor, that would not even faze me, except for that he's retired. But like, I'd be like, oh cool, that sounds good. Like, he'd probably be good for that. He's old and scary. Christopher Walken,
like the funny guy. Like,
I saw him be John Travolta's loving husband in Hairspray, the movie musical.
That's hilarious. That's your first role that you think of.
I saw him talking about hiding a watch up his ass.
And he's gonna. You're telling me he's gonna be scary?
I've seen him on a lot of YouTube SNL clips from the 90s? Yeah, Jimmy Fallon's in More Cowbell, so it has to be the 90s. Or like early
2000s. Yeah.
It's just such a weird... I've seen Christopher Walken, there's like a compilation of all the times he dances in movies, and it's like 12 and a half minutes long.
That's awesome, dude.
We should call Denis and see if we can get a little recut where he dances some in this one.
Also, just for... shits and giggles, our friend Rand is in this movie? Did we not even mention that?
We haven't talked.
You've never met Rand.
Yeah, you can't say our friend, because I've never met her once.
My friend.
She's your friend and our other roommate's friend.
She is from Jordan and was in Incendies. So she has worked with Denis in the past, and they filmed in Jordan. She's from Jordan. I don't know, I'm looking at the IMDb. She is listed where like not a lot of people are, like not a lot of like extras are. So she may have a line.
I thought we determined that she is like maybe featured extra kind of thing, and like we're gonna. I think so.
Yeah.
We're definitely gonna know it when we see her.
Yeah, hopefully she's credited as Fremen fighter. Maybe we'll remember to get her on the podcast. Talk to her about it.
It's weird. Oh, that'd be fun. This is not about Dune. I just think it's weird being in the... because you and I are both actors. It's just weird being in this industry and at this age where we're seeing people we know be in, like, major things.
Oh, yeah. Guy I went to school with is in a lot of good stuff now.
My ex-girlfriend is in the new fucking Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah. She has one line. She has one line.
She's in the trailer twice.
Yeah.
It's strange. That's happening now. And we know somebody in Dune Part 2.
Right. When we ourselves didn't get the chance. Messiah is still happening, allegedly. So.
Oh, right. Maybe you and I can die to a stone burner.
Yes! Fucking
that'd be great.
Yes!
Maybe we could be the fucking... we could do the... the little dwarf guy, and we just like True West it, like depending on the seat, like
we Mary Kate and Ashley it, yeah.
Whenever
yeah,
he's
yeah.
off screen, we switch which one of us is playing him. That'd be good.
Yeah, man, that'd be fun.
Well, Psytale, he's a shapeshifter.
It's like Michelle Yeoh and Everything Everywhere, where it like it flashes through a bunch of faces, and one of them's me, one of them's you.
We email Denis with just like a good high res picture of both of our faces, and then when Psytale is shape shifting, he can sort of shift through our faces to wherever he's
right.
going.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you want to make it as easy for him as possible.
I'll pull up ChatGPT, get that body text drafted out right now.
Great.
Great.
You right. do that, and I will get Rand on the show.
Perfect. We're all carrying our weight.
Anything else that we can talk about before we depart? And the next time you hear from us, we will have seen Dune Part 2. We will have seen Dune, the full totality of Dune. Oh, also, he said that the ending, Denis said the ending of Dune Part 2 is a little more depressing than the book, and it sort of leads into Messiah. So
Good.
Maybe we see more of the jihad at the end.
Good, because the fucking ending of the book sucks. It's the worst part of the book, is like the last page.
Yeah. History will call them wives.
Cool. Okay. I don't care.
Yeah. I think we're probably going to see some jihad at the very end, and it's going to be terrifying or whatever, and lead us into Messiah.
Okay. That'd be actually way more interesting end.
Yeah. Than just explaining the complexities of concubines and stuff.
Denis Villeneuve is interesting because I've seen some of his other movies and they're great, but so much so, and after seeing the first one, that I trust this man with my favorite, possibly my favorite book, more than I trust the fucking police and fire department and all of the hospitals in the world with my life.
Yeah, for real. We lucked out so hard that this guy that understands Dune and understands scale... Like, got the... Yeah, it's crazy.
That was something we talked about after we watched the movie, is that this guy fucking gets Dune. Like,
yes.
We're very lucky that the only person in the world who could have made the movie is also someone who really understands the source material.
Yeah. Yeah, so Blade Runner might have flopped. And, I mean, I love Blade Runner 2049, but... If he needed to do that...
I heard you decide mid eight to say nine instead.
I had to slow down. I had to slow down and get the nine out of there. Yeah. It just makes me happy. I love this Frenchman, this Canuck. This Quebecois. Man. And his other movies are great. Like, Blade Runner 2049 is amazing. Prisoners is awesome. Enemy is fine. He does a good job. Arrival!
Arrival's
come on.
Probably one of my favorite movies, yeah.
Yeah, Arrival's fan. Freaking-tastic. You gotta watch Prisoners. You gotta carve out 6 hours of your life to watch Prisoners.
Oh, great. I love really... If there's one thing I love, it's really long movies.
Denis loves that too, apparently, so...
Yeah.
Alright, guys, we gotta go. See Dune.
We're gonna see Dune,
and the next time you hear from your friends Silas and Dan, we will be giving our thoughts on the film.
Now, you'll be forgiven for forgetting, but because it's been a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to have. By the way, I don't even know if I have like. I don't even know if I still have like the music, like the file for
yeah,
the music
have to find
saved
that.
Anywhere. Yeah, we used to end this show a particular
way. Yeah.
Do you remember it? What we did?
Well, I would give some kind of pun related to the Dune franchise and some of its language. Usually,
a little word play of some kind. Yeah, yeah. So, have you cooked over the last 2.5 years almost? Have you cooked anything? You better have a fucking good one.
I don't know if I've done anything with this word before. So,
oh my god, you actually have something. Usually, when this happens, dear listeners. I have to cut out a good, 2 to 3 minutes of Dan thinking of a pun.
A terrifyingly cold silence. I have some pieces, and I'm looking forward to assembling them on the fly.
Oh, great. Okay. I mean, there's no better time than the present.
Yes. In the world of Dune, Chome is much like Amazon, the company Amazon, the Dutch East India Company, a big, fat conglomerate that controls a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
In our time, And in the time that Paul can flash back to in these Agamemnon times, the real ones, and he's talking about like idolizing Hitler and all that, that's when Frank was like, we gotta make this moral real clear. We don't like this guy anymore. They did something a little different, with the, like the buying and selling stuff. But in Tune, it's more about the beef buying and the beef swelling.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Beef swelling, baby.
Beef swelling?
I did a beef swelling joke.
What is that?
Beef swelling. It's in Dune. Look it up.
Beef swelling?
Beef swelling. You don't remember beef swelling?
What are you talking about?
In Children of Dune, there is the
beef
line.
Beef swelling.
There's a... You didn't... What? Dude. Wait. In Children of Dune, there's a line, there was an adult beef swelling in his loins.
How the fuck do you remember that? Is that from a book we read 3 years ago?
because it's...
I'm on dune.fandom.com/wiki/beef swelling.
Yeah, you are.
Is a curious euphemism used by Frank Herbert in Children of Dune to describe a young Leto II's bodily reactions to the flood of sexual
that's
memories
right.
while staying at
Siege
Jack Rudu and slowly learning to master his abilities as Kwisatz Haderach.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Hey, this shit
beef
has
swelling.
One... There's one sentence on the wiki for this.
That's how esoteric and granular beef swelling. And that wasn't even a good beef swelling pun either.
No,
that was like long and drawn
so
out and clunky.
Meandering.
Yeah, it was clunky. Yeah.
It was buying and selling, I think, is what you were.
That was the only rhyme pun I could think of. And I was just like, all right, here it goes. Beef buying and beef swelling.
All right. Fucking. Beef swelling.
Beef swelling.
2024. We're back. Let's get laid.
It's all about beef swelling.
That's what we've got, baby.
That's what you can expect from us.